You know, at this time of year, you see nativity scenes everywhere. How many people have a nativity scene at your house? Okay, if you're my wife, you have multiple nativity scenes. See, what we need to look at and understand is exactly what it actually represents. We see so much we see it so often that we kind of get dull to what it actually is saying to us. And so I want to just sharpen our faith a little bit, sharpen our look a little bit into what it actually means. So let's start here in Luke 1, verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at this statement. I think that if an angel shows up in my room and says, "Hail, favored one," I'm probably going to be a little perplexed as to what's going on. I probably want to know, okay, what is this about? Just exactly what is happening here, because this is not something that is normal to go on. So I don't blame her for being greatly troubled at the statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this must be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." What a beautiful place to find favor. "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered to her and said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. A lady who was in her old age." See, barrenness was looked upon as a curse. And now the reproach has been lifted off. The reproach has been lifted off. Verse 37, "For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord. Be it done to me according to your word." And the angel departed. See, we look at this nativity scene, and it's all nice and it's all pretty, but we don't understand the cost, the consequence of everything that was happening there. Because see, for Joseph, this whole situation, we find out in Matthew 1, I don't want to take the time to go read it, but in Matthew 1, we find out that when Joseph finds out that Mary is pregnant, number one, don't you think that was a shock? Yeah. Hello? It's not by me, so what's going on? And now you're using this excuse, it's God? You're trying to tell me it's God? I mean, come on, come up with a better excuse. But see, this young lady was only 14 or 15 years old at this time. And so what we don't understand is the impact that was having and the repercussions that it was having. But Joseph, see, he kind of come and he gets in a dream. And the angel begins to speak to him in a dream and tell him that this thing actually is of God. And that this is going to result in the glory being released unto God. And see, this is something that what we have to understand is that they were looking at this time, they were looking for the Savior to come. And so when that begins to happen, no one, who is going to anticipate that it's happening through you? Can you imagine the weight of that when that angel showed up and began to speak to Mary and tell him that the whole point of everything that I've been doing in the Old Testament is about to show up and it's going to happen through you. This was the center point of all of creation was in this moment. The thing that everything in creation had been coming up to was in this moment. And she was this, it was being revealed to Mary. It was being revealed to Joseph that this was God and it was going to come through them. We think that, you know, well, you just give a yes. But see, when Joseph gave his yes, that meant that he was acknowledging all he was acknowledging that everything in his custom of his world was going to have to be set aside. His own pride was going to have to be set aside. He had to give of himself for this moment to even happen because he had to begin to trust God that God actually was going to do something that he couldn't see yet. And then he had to begin, because see, he was just going to have her put away so that no one would shame her. But the Lord said, I want you to marry her. Don't just shove her off in the closet somewhere. I want you to marry her. I want you to carry around with her. I want you to present her. I want you to wear this situation and be with her in it. That meant he had to give of himself in ways that he was not even prepared for somebody else's child. I don't judge Joseph to be the kind of man who, when they were making the journey to Bethlehem, to look up Mary and say, Mary, you're going to have to get down off that donkey because that's my turn. See, there was a sacrifice. See, love comes with a sacrifice. Destiny often comes with a sacrifice. The plan of God often requires something in us and through us that we didn't see. I don't think when they were doing this and they were seeing all these things that they were understanding that this was going to be, it was going to be almost her time of birth when they had to make that journey. That journey was going to take him 5 to 10 days. They actually have a walk now. You can still go on that trail. And they take you 10 days, probably because we aren't as good a shape as they would have been. But my point is, it's a sacrifice. He had to let go of self. He had to let go of everything he thought about himself in order to be a part of what God was doing. Mary, on her part, you know, in those days, it was very, very different. And, you know, when somebody was pregnant and they were out of wedlock, it was an issue, a big issue. And so when that was happening, she had to make a decision that I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to give you my yes, Lord. I'm going to give you my yes. Because as she did so, she was there was going to be something that was happening with her. Hang on a second. I want to do the undress thing. See, she had to wear And be aware of the Son of God with her all the time. She had to be aware that the very Lord of Lords and the King of Kings was with her all the time, everywhere that she went. And because of it, now you have to understand, when the Lord begins to speak and destiny is beginning to call in your life, she had no idea the repercussions that were going to happen for how many generations after her. All she knew was the shame and the words. And did you hear about Mary? Had you seen Mary? And she wore this thing as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was with her. You know, sometimes it's hard to have the courage just to speak up to the person in the cash register in front of you. Being aware of the King of Kings inside you and wearing it for everybody to see. Wearing it for everybody to see. Knowing that destiny is here encountering me. But to see that first step of destiny doesn't always look like what the promise is going to be on the other end. That first step of destiny looks sometimes a little bit wrong. It might even look a little bit ridiculous as it does in this moment. Hallelujah. But see, there's something when destiny begins to encounter you, it's beginning to come through you. You have to reckon, you have to have faith in what it's going to look like at the other end. Even though she couldn't see how that was going to impact everything. All of creation, all of time, time as it is known, stopped at that moment and was restarted. And we have all been a part of a new section of time because that was the center point. That was the moment that changed everything. That was the moment when we stepped out of the law and into grace. That was the moment when we stepped out of bondage and into freedom. That was the moment when Christ began to arise within us. And so we began to have a way to have an actual impact and an interface with Him. But she had to wear the destiny in a way that was not pleasant. She had to wear the destiny on that ride. Hopefully she got the ride and Joseph didn't make her get off the donkey. But it, you know, have you ever ridden on a donkey? Riding on a horse? It's really not all that it's cracked up to be. It's not super comfortable. It's not like when you're riding around in your Cadillac, okay? When you're riding in the Escalade. Oops, did we go there? But my point is that journey took some time. It took some effort. It took sacrifice. It took everything that was in her to make that moment. She decided when she gave the Lord her yes, she had to give everything into that yes. That's why I wanted Tina to re-testify. Because see, that yes comes with things. It comes with things. It comes with responsibilities. It comes with obligation. It comes with a certain authority. But it also comes with a certain destiny. But it also comes with a certain weight to get it accomplished. Hallelujah. How much would we be able to affect the things around us? Oh, great. And people are taking pictures. Sweet. How much are we able to affect the people around us when we were aware what we carry in us? When we become aware constantly, moment by moment, step by step. No matter whether I'm in Walmart, no matter whether I'm at work, no matter whether I'm at the auto parts getting new tires, it doesn't matter where we are at when we're aware that God is with us. See, it begins to shape what we do. shape what we think. It's amazing how much you can change somebody's life just with a little bit of kindness. I've been purposeful this Christmas season, if I just speed up to the right. This Christmas season, I've been purposeful to look for ways to interface with people. The other day, I just went to the dry cleaners. And as I was in the dry cleaners, there was a man, and he was there. And there was another lady, she was there at the counter, and they had obviously been here a while. She was already irritated and mad, you could tell. She was like, and the guy was at the counter, and he was trying to get a zipper replaced in something that probably should have been to have the whole garment replaced. But he was trying to find out how much it was, then figure out if he could pay for it, and then figure out if there's a cheaper way to do it. And then he questioned this whole situation 4 or 5 times and went through all these iterations. And, you know, I'm standing there for 5 or 6 minutes and you could get irritated. But I just looked at it. I looked at it as this is an opportunity, because I looked outside. I saw his car. I knew he was just doing it simply because he didn't have the money. So he left the garment. The lady had already left. She just shoved everything across the table and just walked out in a huff and said, "You can take care of it," and left. So I just looked at the cashier as soon as he walked out the door, and I said, "How much is it?" And it wasn't a big significant amount, $30. So I said, "Just put it on my tab. Mark him clean. Mark him paid." Why? Because I wanted him not to have that burden. I wanted him to have a testimony that somebody out there cares, that somebody is looking down on them. It's these simple little things. There's no one in us who can't do these simple things for somebody. It's part of giving the Lord our yes. Being aware that we carry him with us everywhere that we are, even in simple little interactions like that. Mary had a tremendous interaction. What she did has changed history. For all of us. It's her character. Because see, she just said, "Just be unto me as you've said." In other words, she gave an open invitation to the Lord to do what you need to do. That's what we're about in this season. That's what we're about when we're telling the Lord we want revival. That's what we're about when we tell the Lord we want a crown. That's what we're about. We're giving him an open invitation to come and have his way in us so that love can be made manifest. Why? Because we're recognizing who we are. When the Lord spoke, when the angel spoke and he began to tell her that you're highly favored, he used a specific word. "Hello, hail, favored one," he says. He used a specific word. It's only used in one other place, and that's in the book of Ephesians. So if you will turn with me to the book of Ephesians 1. Mary stood out on simple faith. At 14 years old, she did not have the way to begin to understand everything that was going to come out of this moment. All she knew was that the Lord was asking something of her, and she decided to give it. It says this here. Well, let's go back to, you know what? I'm going to just read a little passage here. Verse 4. "He chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to the adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself. According to the kind intention of his will," or to King James says, "the good pleasure." His good pleasure. Verse 6 is where we're going. "To the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us," or King James says, "made us accepted in the beloved." And in him we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. So when he says he freely bestowed upon us, when he says that he made us highly, he made us accepted, it's the same word that he used when he spoke to Mary and said, you're highly favored. When he made us accepted and he told Mary, you're highly favored. That blessing that was being released is the Christ. And in the same way that Mary became impregnated with the Spirit overshadowing her, and is the same thing that he's releasing right here, is a knowledge of the Spirit of God overshadowing you so that you can receive the Christ in you, the hope of glory. So that you become aware of Christ in you, become aware of the grace that's being released for your life, become aware of the transition that is there in that moment. Because see, when that moment, once she said yes, she couldn't undo that moment. She couldn't go back and say, no, I'm done. In the same way, the same blessing. The same blessing. We look at Mary, and you know, there's whole cultures that just revere Mary. But see, that same blessing that was upon Mary's life is actually upon each and every person's life, because not only does she get to present the Lord Jesus Christ once to the world, but we can present him to the world every day. She got once. We get every day. It's his design. There might be a few moments in this journey that look a little ridiculous. There might be a few moments in this journey that are a little uncomfortable. It might require something of yourself. It requires to put down self. Every person in there, when you think about it, the Magi, for 2 years, they journeyed to be there with the Christ child, to give. They journeyed for 2 years to give. It required something from them. They had to cast off self. When they cast off self, it brought forth an anointing that what? Was the provision for that family, so that everything that they had need of, the protection that they had need of, was afforded to them. Everything they had need of was provided for them in that gift that was given. It wasn't, it was about honor, absolutely. But that gift was also provision, because they had to take flight into Egypt and live in Egypt. And then when they lived in Egypt, they weren't going to have the normal provision that they had over their life. And so they lived in Egypt. Why? Because unbeknownst to Mary, unbeknownst to Joseph, every bit of prophecy was being fulfilled because of their yes. There's not a person in here that the words of Christ, the words of God haven't come, the words of prophecy haven't come over you. Every one of us has the opportunity to hear what the Lord says to us. Every one of us has an opportunity to receive what the Lord has for us. And guess what? The Lord will provide in that journey. He will provide out of his authority, out of his power, out of his dominion. He'll provide in the natural. He'll provide in the physical. He'll provide in the financial. It's part of what he does, because it's him being released to us and through us. Even as he was for the Christ. Even as he was for this family. When we empty ourselves of self, then we position ourselves to fulfill things that we can't even see yet. Things that we haven't heard yet. When Joseph said yes, He positioned this whole thing to be able to happen with Mary. When Mary said yes, she positioned something that was going to change everything of time. She was going to change covenants because she gave a yes. Could God have done it with somebody else? He obviously would have if he needed to. But when it comes to me, I don't want to get passed up because I didn't want to give my yes. When it comes to me, I want to give my yes so that I can walk in whatever it is, destiny, that I can't even see yet, because it's His purpose and it's His glory. It's His glory that gets released. It's Christ in you that gets seen. That's the hope of glory that's being released. And when Christ in you is released, wonderful things are going to happen out of it. This is a season. Let this be a season where we look to see how can we be the ones who Christ is moving through, even in the simple ways. Some decisions require more weight. Some decisions just require a willingness. But all of it requires our yes. Hallelujah. With God, nothing is impossible. The actual Greek, I'm sorry, that's not, is it the Greek? Yeah. Basically says, and no word shall go unfulfilled. Not only is there nothing impossible with God, but there's no word that He gives you. It will go unfulfilled. Sometimes we see situations in our life that doesn't look like it happened, but that's because we're not seeing the fullness of what He has already in store. We're not seeing all that He has in every situation. So we just have to make a choice. Because we gave Him our yes, we make a choice to let go of those other situations, to let go of our carnal knowledge, and to begin to hold and stand in the place of faith that He gives us authority for. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God delights to give. And as He delights to give, I'm delighting to see it, to do it as well. To see the opportunities around me. To be a light for somebody. To speak life into a situation. To release life into a situation. When we all do that collectively, what we're able to accomplish together is so much greater than any one of us by ourselves. But when you just allow the Spirit of God to move in you, so much more is released through you than you can ever imagine. I want to ask you something. Sometimes some people want to, let's do it this way. My cousin shared me a story. He's a preacher. He shared me a story about a letter. And in their Christmas tree, every year, the family would look around and they would find something, and basically their blessing to the man was this letter. And what they would look is it's at this like the community around them. They would find some situation where what they could do, what they could input into that situation. So, for example, I think one of the examples was that the wrestling team that had come from across the city. There was an inner city group, and they had no equipment, no anything to do what they were doing. And so this family bought them all the equipment that they needed and gave it and then wrote it in the letter. And they stuck the envelope in the Christmas tree. And that was the gift to the Father, because his heart was always to give. And they did this for numbers of years, and then he passed away from cancer. And that year, every one of the sons, because see, it was the wife doing it first, then every one of the sons joins in, and there was a letter from each one explaining what they did for somebody else's, how they affected somebody else's life. It's too late for Christmas time. But on my birthday, what I'm asking you to do is write a letter and tell me what you did for somebody's life. How you impacted someone somewhere. It may be something you gave, something you did, something you helped, something you spoke. But write that letter so that you know the testimony is being released. Your place, you're being aware of the presence of God with you, and it's being released everywhere that you go. Amen. Amen. I see your letter. I see your letter. I see your letter. I want to hear your letters. All right. God bless you. We love you.